Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
The presidential election is driving residents out to early voting in record numbers. On social media, the Democratic Office of the Erie County Board of Elections said the almost 19,000 ballots on Saturday represented, quote, by far the strongest opening we've ever had. In Genesee County, Democratic Election Commissioner Lori Longany said the over 1,100 votes cast on Saturday were the largest first-day total for early voting.
So far, I'm knocking on wood, everything has been going very smoothly. Our staff has been excellent. Our voters have been courteous. And we've had very few problems, so we're hoping this continues.
Erie County reported another 17,715 votes were cast Monday, bringing the three-day total to 50,910. A morning gathering in Niagara Square will address the remarks made by regarding Puerto Rico at a recent rally for former President Donald Trump. Assemblymember John Rivera and Buffalo Councilmember David Rivera will be joined by other local Puerto Rican leaders. Organizers say the Republican Party, quote, under Trump's influence, has demonstrated a pattern of deliberate disdain toward the island of Puerto Rico. And state officials say they're working to protect voting rights and public safety during the elections. Governor Kathy Hochul and Attorney General Letitia James told reporters Monday that state police and the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services are prepared to assist local law enforcement agencies in keeping large protests safe. Caregivers and resident families are continuing their push to keep the doors open at the region's largest nonprofit nursing home. According to the labor union 1199 SEIU, workers at Weinberg campus will hold an informational picket this afternoon outside the Buffalo office of the State Department of Health, which last week announced its plan to close the facility. The move would displace 140 residents and put 300 workers out of a job. Union officials are calling on the Department of Health to appoint Lineage Care Group as receiver at Weinberg campus. The makeover of the Kensington Expressway remains on hold after a judge extended an earlier restraining order. Over 60 plaintiffs have sued to stop the construction of the $1 billion project, saying the Department of Transportation did not conduct the required environmental studies. The judge ordered the construction to be delayed until November 18th to allow both sides to file additional supporting documents in advance of closing arguments. The judge also ordered a $10,000 bond to be paid by petitioners by Friday, November 15th, to keep the current restraining order in place. And seven-figure housing sales are becoming more common in Erie County. According to a filing in the county clerk's office, a five-bedroom house on Windsor Avenue sold for $1.75 million, making it the second seven-figure sale in less than a week in the Delaware District. A home on Nottingham Terrace was purchased for $2.5 million. There have been 62 residences in Erie County that have sold for more than $1 million this year. Note from the town of Cheektowaga supervisor, Brian Nowak, saying that the overnight parking ban will be delayed until November 15th. It's because, well, there really hasn't been much of a snow season start, but there may be some warnings issued to people about the upcoming regulations, but no parking tickets will be issued until the snow starts falling. President Joe Biden last week became the first president to publicly apologize to Native Americans for the federal government's Indian boarding school system and policies. WBFO's Ryan Zunner speaks with those from the Western New York indigenous community, which, like many, were impacted by boarding schools.
The federal government has never formally apologized for what happened until today. I formally apologize as President of the United States of America for what we did. I formally apologize.
President Biden there during an appearance on the Gila River Indian community in Arizona Friday. It's been a long buildup to that moment. Stories of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse are common among survivors. Hair was cut, native language was banned, and manual labor and military-like drills were instilled among students. Indigenous children died of disease, lack of medical care, and malnutrition. Billions of dollars in inflation-adjusted federal money poured into over 400 of these schools nationwide for 150 years. Some ran by the U.S. Army, Bureau of Indian Affairs, Christian religious organizations, and even state governments into the 1960s.
There's no excuse that this apology took 50 years to make. The federal Indian boarding school policy, the pain it has caused, will always be a significant mark of shame, a blot on American history.
President Biden's apology comes on the heels of Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland's three-year report on the Indian boarding school system. Haaland herself is an enrolled member of the Laguna Pueblo. That report and the president's apology doesn't sit well with Mohawk activist and talk show host John Kane.
What's painfully obvious is the absence of the word genocide. On the Canadian side, they at least call it cultural genocide, which I think is, you know, a bit of a sham. If you look at the definition of genocide, it's all about intent, the intent to make a people no longer exist. Kill the Indian, save the man wasn't a metaphor. You don't need a graveyard for metaphors. You need a graveyard for dead children.
Western New York was home to three different boarding schools, the Tonawanda Mission School, Seneca Mission School, and the Thomas Indian School. The legacy of the Thomas School is one that hits home for many Seneca people, including Nation Councilor and presidential candidate J.C. Seneca. He helped with Haaland's report by gathering 17 pages of testimony and information on the Thomas Indian School, where his father once attended.
Stories of children playing in their yard, a van or a vehicle stops, and people get out and they come and they grab the children and take them, and the parents won't see them again. And they were unable to find them and talk with them because they were held basically captive and prisoner in these schools.
Seneca believes President Biden's apology is a start to a healing process, but says more needs to be done in terms of investigation.
I think anytime a leader of the country like Joe Biden, the president, steps forward and apologizes for those wrongdoings, I think it's a big step. The other thing is to also be involved again, as I had been in the past, with the federal government and the Department of Interior to advocate and push for continued investigation.
While the Thomas Indian School did receive some federal funding, the school was operated in Cattaraugus by New York State for over 50 years. No governor has acknowledged or apologized for the state's role in boarding schools, and WBFO's request for comment from Governor Kathy Hochul's office was not returned. Kane says the state is missing an opportunity to be a part of the healing process.
New York State has an obligation too. And so, you know, beyond words like reconciliation, I think there's an obligation to right or wrong.
Kane says the history between state government and Haudenosaunee tribes has never been great, and issues still persist today. Whether that's the freezing of Seneca Nation bank accounts, land disputes, or taxation battles, something J.C. Seneca knows firsthand being involved in nation government and seeking its highest office.
The state inflicts trauma on Native communities here within New York, especially here at Seneca Nation. The actions that they do, I don't know if they care or they don't think about it, but their actions speak louder than words. And those types of situations that they have done is traumatizing and continue to cycle within our communities.
Part of the Interior report recommends federal action on several fronts to remedy damage done to Native communities. That includes investment in physical and mental health programs and research, redress of Native education, funding traditional language programs, repatriation of remains, and a national monument. Biden's apology in Arizona was also part of that plan, which Kane believes is politically timed.
I think it was a cheap political stunt. All places to go, you happen to go to a swing state to appeal to what some people are claiming is a population that may or may not, you know, affect the outcome of a race in Arizona. I find an apology less than 2 weeks before the election, again, a bit of a political stunt.
Ryan Zunner, WBFO News.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.